Welcome back to another episode of AI Unchained. I'm Jack, joined by my partner in tech, Core. Today's show is packed with sizzling topics from AI developments to Web 3.0. We'll also touch on the latest in business and political events shaking up the tech world. Stay with us. It's going to be a wild ride.
Hey, everyone. Good to be back. Thanks for tuning in. We've got some big conversations lined up. Ever wondered how AI is revolutionizing creative industries or why Web 3.0 is touted as the next big thing? Well, stick around.
And for the record, we might get a bit heated today. Core and I don't exactly see eye to eye on everything. It's all about sparking debate and uncovering the truth.
Exactly, Jack. That's why the show is called AI Unchained. We dig deep and don't hold back. Speaking of not holding back, did you see the recent news on OpenAI's latest project?
Oh, don't even get me started. I got a lot of opinions on that, but let's not give away all our secrets right at the start.
True, true. We'll dive into that soon. But first, let's thank our listeners. Your feedback and support keep us going. We love hearing from you. So keep those comments and questions coming.
Absolutely. And if you're new here, welcome to the family. We break down complex tech topics with a bit of humor and a lot of passion.
Speaking of humor, Jack, you coming to our AI-themed Halloween party this weekend?
Of course I'll be there. I wouldn't miss your attempt at dressing up as the blockchain fairy for anything.
Hey, it's a work in progress. But seriously, folks, we've got an exciting episode ahead. From groundbreaking AI research to the hottest trends in Web 3.0, we're covering it all.
Buckle up, everyone. It's going to be an informationally packed and entertaining hour. Let's dive right in. All right, Cora, let's dive back into the question at hand. Why aren't teens trusting big tech anymore? I mean, imagining a world where a teenager doesn't worship at the altar of Elon Musk or idolize Steve Jobs. It's wild.
Totally wild, Jack. But it makes sense, right? Teens today grew up digital. They probably know more about how their data gets exploited than we do. Plus, just look at some of the scandals. Facebook data leaks, TikTok privacy concerns, and who can forget Apple's supposedly accidental recording of private conversations through Siri?
True enough. I remember back in our day, the only big privacy issue was if your mom picked up the landline while you were chatting up your crush. Now they've got to deal with their data being mined for ad dollars. No wonder they're skeptical.
Exactly. And it's not just privacy. Teens these days are savvy about ethics, too. Over half of the surveyed said they don't trust these companies to make responsible decisions about AI. They've grown up hearing conflicting information about these technologies. On one hand, AI can compose music and diagnose diseases. And on the other, AI can be biased and mysterious in its decision-making. That's a lot to juggle.
Right. And it's not like the companies are doing much to inspire confidence. Every other week, there's some new tech backlash. Just recently, there was that issue with flashy AI models that are biased. Once you lose trust, especially with a younger generation that's more connected and informed, it's really hard to get it back.
I asked my teenage niece about this, actually. She's on all these platforms, Snapchat, TikTok, you name it. But even she has found ways to limit her exposure, using burner accounts and encrypted messaging apps. She's more internet savvy than I ever was at that age. They've learned to navigate the digital landscape in ways that protect them from being completely vulnerable.
Speaking of vulnerability, let's pivot a bit to the other part of our discussion, big tech companies going public. Circle is still talking about going public despite delays. What's your take on that?
Quite the pivot, Jack. But yeah, Circle's commitment to going public is interesting, especially with Trump easing crypto regulations. This is like injecting more adrenaline into a tech sector already racing at breakneck speed. Even with teens skeptical of big tech, capitalism isn't slowing down one bit.
Capitalism never takes a break. But seriously, the whole crypto thing, it's wild how we went from teens being distrustful to parents and even grandparents dabbling in Bitcoin ETFs. Remember when blockchain was just a buzzword? Now it's shaping entire economies.
Markets change fast. One day, you're in your garage building a tech startup. The next, you're creating memes to salvage a crypto network. The volatility is part of the charm, no?
Yeah, Bonk airdropped to revive Solana is a classic case. Cryptocurrency lives and dies by its community sentiment. And doesn't it take them back to the early days of the internet where everything was a bit more unpolished and community-driven?
Full circle. If only we'd had this much enthusiasm back in our early internet days. Remember the dot-com bubble? Those were the Wild West days of tech. Probably why big tech's old guard didn't pay enough attention to ethics early on. They were too busy seeing dollar signs.
Yeah, but today's teens aren't just seeing apps. They're seeing flaws. They demand more accountability. And these companies have to adapt or risk becoming relics. It's a new era, core. Big tech is under a magnifying glass, and the scrutiny, especially from the younger generation, is sobering, even if it's mixed with a meme or two.
Indeed, Jack. Teens are now the watchdogs of new tech, and maybe that's exactly what we need to push innovation toward a more ethical future. Let's hope big tech is listening, for all our sakes.
So, Core, I've been tinkering with the ESP32 cam a bit lately, and man, it's got me thinking about all the potential applications. You know, it's this tiny, affordable module that packs a punch with Wi-Fi and Bluetooth capabilities and a camera module all glued together. It's kind of crazy thinking about integrating this with some AI functions, especially with libraries like OpenCV and NumPy.
Absolutely, Jack. It's fascinating how AI Thinker managed to put all those features into such a compact design. The ESP32 cam is making it a lot easier for hobbyists and even professionals to set up advanced projects. Have you tried deploying any AI tasks on it yet?
Yep. I started with some simple object detection using OpenCV. Considering you can install everything using just pip3 install aetip OpenCV Python NumPy, it's quite accessible. But the real challenge is squeezing efficient AI algorithms into such a limited hardware environment. It's a balance between what you can process locally on the ESP32 and what needs offloading to stronger hardware.
No doubt. And speaking of limited environments, isn't that a major talking point these days in AI research? Correct me if I'm wrong, but there's been quite some noise lately about the limits of transformers and the challenges they face with compositional reasoning, like with those classic brain teasers. Remember Einstein's riddle?
Exactly. That was a brilliant example. Nuhad Ziri's team at the Allen Institute for AI ran some experiments and found transformer-based models struggling with complex multi-step problems. It's like expecting these AI models to solve puzzles where each clue builds on the last. They tend to fumble.
That's really eye-opening. I mean, if we're facing these computational caps now, it makes you wonder how they'll handle more evolved tasks down the road. Maybe it's time we look at other architectures beyond transformers. You know what's ironic? We create these monstrous models, and then they can't even do basic multiplication sometimes.
Right? It's almost laughable, but also kind of scary. For example, GPT-4 initially only managed to multiply three-digit numbers correctly 59% of the time and dropped to 4% with four-digit numbers. For people using these tools casually, it might be easy to overlook such limitations. But for researchers and developers, it's a clear nudge to dive deeper into understanding and improving what's under the hood.
Agreed. And let's not forget, every time we hit one of these walls, it pushes us to think creatively, which is exactly how innovation happens. Take DeepSeek, for instance. They built AI models that can match top-tier performance without relying on the most advanced chips. That's huge because it challenges the notion that more compute power is always the answer.
That's a massive shift. Speaking of breakthroughs, OpenAI's response with their O3 Mini was pretty bold. It's all about more efficient models and better computational methods. Even though DeepSeek's R1 is cheaper in terms of operational costs, OpenAI has made significant strides to bridge that gap.
Yep. And their focus on reasoning tasks with the Omni series has been a game changer. The AMI benchmark results were telling. These models, especially the O3 Mini, are nailing high-complexity math problems that we never thought an AI could tackle without a ton of pre-training. But let's not forget, OpenAI has some catching up to do, considering how DeepSeek nailed it with just a fraction of the typical resources.
Exactly. And it's those efficiency improvements that might shape the future AI landscape. Meanwhile, closer to home, all these advancements trickle down to consumer hardware like our beloved ESP32 cam. Imagine integrating smarter and more efficient AI models into these tiny boards. We're talking next-level home automation, security systems, DIY projects. The possibilities are endless.
Endless indeed. And speaking of which, do you think this could quicken the uptake of AI in more real-world scenarios? Not just fancy research labs, but in everyday tools and devices? It feels like we're on the cusp of something big.
Oh, for sure. The real allure of computational efficiency is democratizing AI, making it accessible to everyone, not just giant tech companies. As for practical uses, AI-powered edge computing on devices like the ESP32 Cam could revolutionize fields like agriculture, healthcare, and smart cities. People are going to be running AI on everything from security cams to smart kettles soon.
And who can forget the fun applications, like automating your coffee machine to brew a perfect cup every morning using real-time data on your sleep patterns and heart rate? This isn't sci-fi anymore. We're right here.
I could definitely use a coffee bot. But seriously, it's a fascinating time for tech enthusiasts and professionals alike. The era when you needed a supercomputer to do AI might be fading. Now, the next Einstein or Alan Turing might be some kid in their garage with an ESP32 and a wild idea.
Cheers to that, mate. Let's keep pushing the boundaries and see where this crazy AI and edge computing journey takes us. The future is wide open.
So continuing from where we left off, we've got this buckets array in the timer wheel level. Essentially, each element in that array represents the number of buckets at each layer of the hierarchy. Then there's the spans parameter, which defines how long each bucket is set.
Exactly, Jack. To break it down for our listeners, think of it like a series of clocks. The outermost clock might track hours, the next clock tracks minutes, and the smallest clock tracks seconds. When you set an event on this timer, it cascades through these layers, gradually moving from the largest time span down to the smallest.
And for the caffeine implementation, we've straightforward definitions like Wi-Fi SSID, Wi-Fi underscore password, and WS, server URL for network configurations. This is crucial because if the device loses control signals, it defaults back, setting the motor speed to 0 and the servo angle to 90. This prevents any runaway scenarios where things could potentially go haywire.
Yeah, that default reset is like a safety net. I mean, can you imagine if your smart coffee maker just went rogue? You wake up and instead of a nice espresso, your kitchen is flooded with coffee. It's essential to have these fail-safes, isn't it?
Absolutely. Plus, timers like these are super valuable in reducing resource usage in IoT devices. Constantly checking the exact time for event execution would be inefficient. With this hierarchical structure, it's like having a multi-tiered alert system. Only when it gets to the last tier do you need to start micromanaging.
Sure, Jack. And for those not coding savvy, think of it like setting an alarm for your morning run, but with snooze capabilities. You don't want to be disturbed every minute, so the first alert is maybe an hour before, then 30 minutes, then 10, and finally that loud ring. The real action only happens right at the end.
And let's not forget about customization. A lot of these parameters are configurable. You've got your SSID and password, which makes the device adaptable to different networks. And the server URL, that specifies where your device reaches out for commands. If no commands come in, the device knows to play it safe.
Customization is key. You know, I once had a project back in my early days where we forgot to set these defaults properly. We ended up chasing down a runaway drone. Picture this, me sprinting outside trying to catch it before it entered the neighbor's yard. Those were fun times, but it taught me the importance of getting these details right.
I can imagine you trying to leap and catch it. But seriously, it all comes down to ensuring smooth operations, avoiding unnecessary power drains, and making sure the devices are as reliable as they can be. It's small details like these that make a massive difference in real-world applications.
No doubt about that. And for anyone working on similar projects, tweaking these parameters means fine-tuning your device's efficiency and behavior. That's all bits and pieces of code, but the impact is quite tangible.
Exactly. And looking deeper, it brings to light how much thought goes into the back end to ensure our smart devices work seamlessly. Users often overlook these mechanisms, but they are the unsung heroes of modern tech.
For sure, Jack. It's like the secret recipe for that perfect tech sauce. Understanding this helps us appreciate the complexities and marvels of our connected world.
So, Core, we were just talking about how Balzac's Paris serves as this intricate map of social, political, and moral dynamics of the 19th century. It's fascinating how he documented every layer of society, much like an archaeologist would excavate a site to reveal the history underneath. It's almost as if he used his storytelling to lay out a blueprint of the city, capturing moments before they were erased by modernization.
Absolutely, Jack. Balzac's work is like a time capsule. He chronicled everything from the posh hotels to the grittier tenements and streets. It's like looking at a living, breathing Paris that no longer exists. And he compared himself to both a paleontologist and a zoologist, which is just a brilliant analogy. His Paris was a kind of urban jungle with its own distinct species. Bureaucrats, merchants, criminals, the demi-monde. You name it, he documented it.
Speaking of documentation, I think there's an interesting parallel in today's world with how technology companies document and analyze user data. It's all about digging deep to understand behavior, trends, and basically the digital equivalent of city life.
That's a great point, Jack. If you think about it, companies like Google, Facebook, they're like the Balzacs of our time. They gather data on our clicks, likes, habits, basically creating a detailed map of modern digital life. But unlike Balzac, who did it for the narrative, these companies are predominantly driven by targeted advertising and profit motives.
Exactly. Instead of immortalizing the essence of society, they're monetizing it. And here's where the subject of ISPs providing cheap routers to cut down on tech support costs fits in. If these companies prioritized security over convenience, we wouldn't have half the privacy issues we see today. They're reducing human interaction to algorithms and efficiency metrics.
It's the classic battle between security and convenience, isn't it? Most people don't think about the security of their home routers, but it's critical. If ISPs are just pushing the cheapest possible equipment, it's like Balzac's Paris without the police or any law enforcement. Complete chaos would ensue.
That's right. ISPs are mostly interested in remote management capabilities and keeping costs down. It's a business decision, but it makes our digital infrastructure vulnerable. We've hit a point where convenience often trumps security, which can be pretty risky.
And we're seeing this complacency escalate at higher levels too. Look at the recent scandal with Doge getting access to the Treasury's payment system. It's reminiscent of Balzac's depiction of government offices. Just imagine if there were political meddling and it crashed the disbursements, Social Security, tax refunds, everything would collapse in chaos.
The analogy extends even further. Venture debt. Taking control over struggling startups, it's like a hostile takeover in Balzac society where cunning criminals or opportunists grab power during periods of vulnerability. The weak startups from 2020 and 2021, funded hastily during the pandemic, they're now facing their reckoning.
Yes, and while some of these startups are navigating this crisis by securing new funding, others are forced into acquisitions with unfavorable outcomes for initial investors. It's almost like watching Balzac's characters navigate through the maze of opportunities and pitfalls in Paris, but in a modern digital form.
And isn't it fascinating how this parallels with everything from the rise of one-person microenterprises to the massive layoffs at large companies? It makes you wonder about the future of work itself. If automation and AI reduce human involvement, what does that mean for society?
I agree, Jack. It brings us full circle to Balzac. His detailed portrayals of various professions and classes showed how intertwined they all were. Modern technology has changed the interplay, but the foundational issues remain. Just like old Paris couldn't exist without its diverse populace, modern society can't function without considering the socioeconomic impact of tech-driven changes.
We need a balance between progress and safeguarding the elements that make society connected and functional. It's a continuous struggle between evolving conveniences and retaining core securities, much like the streets and personalities of Balzac's Paris constantly adapting to new challenges.
Well put. Balzac's meticulous documentation was his way of warning and informing society, just as today's technological scrutiny highlights the importance of balancing innovation with human-centric security and ethics.
All right, folks, that brings us to the end of another jam-packed episode of AI Unchained. We've covered a lot of ground today, from groundbreaking advancements in AI to the latest twists and turns in the tech industry.
Absolutely, Jack. We dug into the implications of AI in healthcare, had a lively debate over the recent moves by tech giants, and even ventured into the political landscape, shaking things up in the business world.
And let's not forget that hilarious moment when Core thought his smart fridge was conspiring against him. You should really change your passwords more often, buddy.
Oh, come on, Jack. Don't act like your first AI home assistant didn't lock you out of your own house. We've all had our tech mishaps. Anyway, just goes to show that even we tech aficionados have our challenges.
True that. Thanks to everyone's insights and comments, it was truly engaging. We always love hearing back from our audience. You guys keep us on our toes and make every episode worthwhile.
Indeed. And remember, we'll continue to tackle the pressing issues, celebrate innovations, and, of course, keep the banter alive. Whether you're tuning in for the serious stuff or just a good laugh, we've got you covered.
So, thank you for joining us today on AI Unchained. We hope you enjoyed our discussions and gained some valuable insights.
See you next time, folks. And don't forget, turn off your smart devices every once in a while. Unless they're planning your surprise birthday party. Just kidding. Or am I?
Later, everyone. Stay curious, stay informed, and as always, stay unchained.